This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to This Day in History, a podcast dedicated to examining history from a standpoint of determining which event on any given day had the greatest impact on our lives. Now your host, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian.
Hey, it's July 11th. It's This Day in History on lineupmedia.fm. Tony Hubert, Armand Kachigian with you as we bring you the events, the births, the deaths that have happened throughout the annals of time on this date, the 11th of July. Armand, I'm not going to lie to you. I got a big one today.
Let's get right to the other events,
I could really, they're nice.
Well, let's just go.
But I want you to break this one down for me. I think you know what it is. I think if you look at your little list.
The big one, yeah, well, I don't know, I guess.
Just give the year.
Not to me.
Just give the year.
1804?
No.
Oh, what the hell else is there?
That's a good one.
What, 72?
Yes.
You?
I love this.
We talked about this 50 times, though.
Yeah, but this is the date of the first game. That's coming up on the program. Don't forget, we're brought to you by Amazon.com and by Audible.com. And whenever Armand has a book recommendation, a film recommendation, and when I do as well, just not as often as Armand, we highly encourage you to go to thisdayinhistorypodcast.com, click on the Amazon or Audible link, and go get yourself what is recommended. And today, there'll be some good recommendations. Also, don't forget, lineupmedia.fm, over 40 podcasts to check out, folks. Over 40.
Wow.
Including for you guys who really
some
like...
Some better than others.
It's much better than others. Well, no, they're all good. They're all fun in their own right. For instance,
some,
if you really
some
like...
more intellectual
to
than
geek
others.
Out or nerd out on history or other things, try Geek Grab Bag. Try Next Gen Nerds. You might be surprised by what you find there. Also, don't miss Surreal Talk, the sort of the flagship show for the network featuring Everett and Eric Hicks. I can tell you the upcoming edition, the mid-July edition of Surreal Talk, all about Bigfoot. That's right, Sasquatch, coming up. You don't want to miss it. Trust me. Just check them out and all their past episodes as well, surrealtalk.com. And then you can check out all our past episodes at thisdayinhistorypodcast.com. For all the dates we have covered so far, it'll take us about 2 years to run through the entire 365-day calendar, but slowly and surely, we're getting there. All right.
I'm going to go quick through the script by then. The show will be canceled.
Through some of our events. I'm just going to go quick. Yeah. There's two that I really want to cover.
All right.
1735, the mathematical calculation that on this date, July 11, 1735, Pluto, which is now a dwarf planet, moved inside the orbit of Neptune for the last time.
That's why it's not a planet.
Before 1979.
Because it doesn't have its own
orbit. When you were born, Armand, Neptune was further away from the sun than Pluto.
That's correct. That's,
and now Pluto's not a planet, and now nobody gives a damn about the poor little thing. And I just got to tell you.
I see t-shirts.
Yeah, I'm for Pluto. Yeah. I'm with Pluto.
Yeah, well. Talked about, what's the name, Brown, a guy. He's the one.
I know. Now, the guy.
You're still holding a grudge.
Yeah, I am. Guy who's responsible for kind of kick-starting off the French Revolution.
I've read up on this guy. I don't think
he was
responsible. No.
Well, he's dismissed.
Things weren't so beautiful before.
No,
this
they
guy.
Weren't.
In fact, if anything, I don't know why they, I don't know why they want. I read up on this guy. He's kind of a liar. You know, he's finance minister.
Boy, he's perfect for his job then.
Yeah, right. Which is. Yeah, perfect. Exactly. But why do the people give a damn? That's the question.
Well,
they didn't storm the Bastille because this guy retired or whatever.
Well, Jacques Necker.
Yeah, Necker.
Jacques Necker. He's dismissed as the finance minister of France this dismissal sparks the storming of the Bastille. Now,
I don't get that.
I'm kind of with you, Armand.
I think people were hungry. I think that's why they stormed.
When
the
you want to storm a prison, you're not waiting for the minister of finance to get to get the axe.
Well, I mean, the guy did have something to do. Apparently, the guy put out a report of just how much Louis XVI and Marie Antoinette, I guess, were spending.
Yeah.
And people didn't like that.
Oh, no,
much.
Of course
that was
not.
The first time the king that somebody
people
ever
didn't
actually...
how, like how much Mary Todd Lincoln was spending either, but no one was storming the White House.
Anyway, they're 520 million livres.
Livres.
Livres in debt. I guess the people didn't like that.
That'll buy a lot of dresses, I guess.
I don't see why, you know. We just have a Bank of France, inflate the currency like we do.
And pay for it.
There you go. The debt's gone.
Yeah. Wiped out.
Yeah.
It's simple.
They need a Canes instead of Necker.
Well, that probably would have done it. 1796, Detroit. The U.S. grabs possession of Detroit.
Most
from
of that debt, by the way, was from fighting with us.
Oh, true.
Fighting the British for us. So.
Thank you for our freedom, France. Now, good luck to you. Go get some of your own. The U.S. gets Detroit from, they don't get it. They take it. They take Detroit from Great Britain under the terms of the Jay Treaty.
Yeah, it was under the treaty, though.
I love the American acquisition of land at this. I love it.
I think they can have it back now.
Detroit? No, it's doing great. I was just up there 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, doing great.
No, seriously.
My house up there.
I would, because your property value is going to go up.
Oh, yeah?
So the first time I went
quote you on that.
Post-2008 was, I think, in 2010. And the area just north of downtown was just completely ravaged. I mean, it looked like parts of Syria. And I'm not kidding. Two blocks north of Comerica Park, where the Tigers play Armand, was a disaster. I was just back 2 weeks ago, and two blocks north of Comerica Park is now really nice townhouses and a lot of refurbished houses. It's a community now. It's not perfect.
You say so.
I do, because I was there. I saw it.
Who's stupid enough to, you know, invest?
Well, I'm not saying.
Of all the places in this country, you can invest in Detroit.
Well, you can buy low and sell high.
Well, I guess, but I'd rather
that's part of the.
You can still buy low in New Orleans, some places.
Oh, sure you can.
Katrina
hit. There's lots of places you can buy low.
Right, well.
All right.
Anyway.
Trust me, Detroit.
Okay, a renaissance.
I don't know if I say renaissance, but it's doing much better. And the downtown area, Woodward Avenue, all the way down to the Joe Louis statue, the big black fist.
Yeah,
it was really lively. I mean, people were out. People were having
shooting,
a good time. No.
Go to Dearborn too. A lot of Muslims there. That's a nice area too.
They do have a big Iraqi contingent in the Detroit area. That's why Saddam once got the keys to Detroit. It's a true story. You know that, right?
If you say so,
I say so. 1798. The reestablishment of the U.S. Marine Corps.
What do you mean reestablished?
I don't know why they had been disbanded after the Revolutionary War.
Well,
so when,
probably figured rightly that we don't need an army. We don't need a standing army. Washington warned about this.
So
standing armies lead to wars.
Yeah.
There you go.
1798. So the Marines.
God, they were smart.
Back in business.
Dumb we are.
1801. Little French astronomer named Jean-Louis Pons.
Yes, bombs, okay. I don't know.
Well, he makes his first comet discovery, and this man, over the next 27 years, will discover another 36 comets, more than any other person in history.
This guy needs a hobby.
Well, that was his hobby, I think.
This guy needs to get laid.
Well, maybe he did a lot of work at night.
Now,
it's
did he
possible.
Call them dirty ice balls or icy dirt balls?
I'd like icy dirt balls, please. I think that's a good name for a softball team, the icy dirt balls.
I don't remember who. What's it called? Was it Wheeler? I think it was John Wheeler. Dirty ice ball.
Now we get to our first of two big events today.
Yeah, it's not that big.
Come on, it's
I
big.
Hate this guy. Good. I'm glad he got killed.
Well, you are. I've told you I had a dream once that the guy who killed him actually became president of the United States in an alternate universe. Really vivid dream, too. So this is the date of the duel in 1804 between the vice president. Let me remind you. That is the vice president.
Yeah, well.
And
when vice presidents had balls.
No, because Cheney shot someone as well. So don't say he didn't have balls.
He was unarmed.
Who? The guy?
Yeah. Well,
no, he wasn't. The guy was carrying a gun.
Right,
you can't say he was unarmed.
Okay.
He wasn't looking to get shot by the vice president,
Cheney's
but he got shot.
He's very brave. Yeah.
Yeah. Cheney was very brave trying to kill those quail. The fact that he.
Was it Dan Quayle?
No, it wasn't Dan Quayle. No. It was a.
Anyway, just get
Texas
to the point.
Buddy. Well, this is Burr versus Hamilton, and Hamilton.
I don't think, you know.
He gets killed.
I don't think Hamilton supposedly fires. I think he's just a rotten shot. He hated Burr, too, so.
Man, did they really have to do it to each other?
Yeah. That's the way things were settled.
Well,
it was a better time.
Maybe we should get back to that.
I know. I don't have a problem with it at all.
Let's put Pence against
Hillary?
Greenspan, former.
Greenspan? The guy's 107 years old.
Well,
man.
He might be quick on the draw. Who would stand in for Greenspan? Maybe
Al Gore.
Andrea Mitchell?
How about him?
His wife could stand in.
God, I'd like to shoot that pig.
Oh, please.
I hate that guy.
What? Where's all this hatred coming from?
Because of global warming. It's not doing his politics.
See, there it is.
Yeah,
there it
right.
Is.
There, okay. It is. Global, there it is.
For, you're like DiMaggio.
I got a great – I just great. You're, I just ran off a great –
your hitting streak on – on global references is global warming references is incredible. Hey, don't forget as well. We are on Instagram as well at This Day in History Podcast. Oh, that's our Instagram.
That's the
account.
Note you got?
Yeah, at This Day in History Podcast. Our one of our fine producers, Andrew Allen, takes care of us on Instagram, and we're going to start having some more fun, like my name of the day.
Your name? Oh, yeah, knock it off. That's stupid.
No,
I think we
can
think of something better than that.
Well, you think of something then,
well,
smarty.
We used to do one. We used to do one where Ocho Man and Chris used to try to fool me with a word of the day that I couldn't define.
Oh, that's hard. Yeah, it's hard to pass one by. So let's have Pence versus. Give me
what
a former
happened to your poem of the day.
Secretary.
I thought you were going to write. Read
I do.
Something.
I have that. I can go grab the book. I'd like to see who would I like to see Pence take on in a duel. What about Pence versus Pelosi?
Here again, come on.
You're not for that one? That might be good.
No, she's an old bag too. Come on, make it tough.
Pence versus.
How about Pence versus Obama?
How about Pence versus Paul Ryan?
Oh, I hate them both. Well, I don't hate Pence. I hate Ryan.
Okay, there you go.
I'm for Pence.
All right, there you go. That's our duel. 1848, Waterloo opens in London. That's the railway station, one of the most famous spots.
It used to be the biggest. I think.
Well, sure is. If you are on the south side of the Thames, it is huge for a rail station. And your meeting point in London, so every kind of city has that famous, you know, meet me here.
Yeah.
And at Waterloo, it's meet me under the clock.
Oh, okay.
And it's very easy to do. In the Civil War, the Confederate forces on this date, 1864, attempt to invade Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I had to look this over. I didn't know this happened. I've never heard of this battle.
Yeah, and it's called
Jubal Early marching on.
Jubal Washington. Early. What a great name!
Yeah,
what a great name! It's the Battle of Fort Stevens, and. Well, you can imagine, had they been successful in the summer of 1864, that would have been a tide turner. They weren't, and the war drags on for a complete, almost another year.
They should have fought the guerrilla war.
1889,
talk about it over and over again.
One of the great destinations for Americans is founded. Tijuana, Mexico.
I've been there many times.
How'd Tijuana
got
treat
you? Got a lot
of
belts and chess sets.
Yeah, a lot of chess sets, huh?
Right.
Did you feel the need to buy the chess sets, or did you
I felt the need for didn't cost as much as a chess set. That was...
Oh, stop.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay. Oh, boy. Two more before the birthdays. This is also a big one, Armand. Give me what you know about this, because I found this one.
Well, I haven't seen their films, but
Auguste and Louis Lumière demonstrate movie film technology to scientists in 1895 on July 11th.
Yeah, well, these guys are credited with that. Yeah, I think
so. I mean, this is the launching not just of a genre, you know, film,
the art form of the 20th century,
but also look. It's a way to preserve and record history. That's what.
Yeah. What was what did Cocteau call it? Fountains of frozen time.
I don't know.
Frozen thought or something. Remember he had that quote.
It's a good quote.
I mentioned him, by the way, today.
You did.
Jean Cocteau.
Yeah, I
guess you'll never guess where he comes up.
That's intriguing. I like it, Armand.
Take a guess. Where was Jean Cocteau show up in any of these things today?
I don't know. I have to look.
Did he do something close?
Did he do something with Yul Brynner?
Very good. Yul Brynner gave him his opium. He was his opium dealer.
Are you serious?
Yep.
I got it. I can't wait. I can't wait. You did a very good tease. I'm proud of you. You're learning how to do these things. I like it. One more. 18 before we do birthdays. 1897. Gentleman by the name of Solomon Auguste André attempts to reach the North Pole by balloon. Now I got to tell you right away, that's a dumb idea.
Bird did it. He did it on a plane. I don't know about him.
And Mr. Auguste André.
Guy was reading too many Jules Verne novels.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And he got, I'm not going to say he got what's coming to him, but he got what you might expect. He crashes and dies.
Well, I'd rather do it his way than the way Robert Falk and Scott did it.
I'm not walking.
Man, oh man, what an idiot.
No, I'm not.
Ooh.
Can you, by the way, it's already cold, and you're going to be up at least, what, a thousand, couple thousand feet?
I don't know how high he was in that balloon, I guess. But
how does the balloon even keep pressure when it's that cold?
I would think with the cold air, it'd probably rise. It'd be easier to.
As long as you have a heat supply, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. Now,
that's the trick, though, isn't it? Okay. So halfway through, let's take a look at who was born on this date, 1767. John Quincy Adams. He's going to become the sixth president of the U.S. Of course,
such a great president and kind of a corrupt bargain. That's how he got it in 1824. That's a Jackson.
Now, he never shot this. He never once had a majority.
Oh, no, not even close.
Any part of the election.
No, the only reason he made it was because, what's his name? Was it Calhoun?
With Calhoun and one other.
Crawford was in it too, but I don't think he had anything to do with it.
Because the four guys who were in it, and at no
Calhoun
point.
Calhoun gave all his people, all his delegates to this guy just so he could be Secretary. Now, this guy, John Quincy Adams, was Secretary of State to Monroe, and he was a good Secretary of State. Plus, I think he's the only
one. Well, he should have been. He had some damn good training.
Well,
his dad's the second president.
I know. I mean, this guy was brought up to be president his whole life, which I don't necessarily like.
No, I don't either. Because
now we're talking about the Bushes and the Clintons.
That's exactly right. Yeah. We are not meant to have dynastic political families.
Oh, okay, here we go.
We really aren't.
Well, why don't we prohibit it then? I don't have a problem with that either. No sons, no grandsons, no first cousins, whatever.
Well,
no first ladies.
Yeah. Yeah.
I swear.
That's a good point,
Armand. If
it had
been Clinton against Bush, I wouldn't have voted. That would have been the first election. I wouldn't have voted. I would not have voted in this election.
That's a good point.
I don't want either one of them.
Could you legally?
No, I don't think you can. I mean, I wouldn't have a problem with it, but it's never going to happen.
There's a Kennedy in Illinois now who's.
Another one?
Yeah, it's Robert's son.
Oh, God.
You know, I don't think he's going to run for governor or anything because I think.
The Rockefellers. I mean,
I think Pritzker's probably got the inside track on that.
I think even at the state level, you cut this crap out.
No, I agree. I think.
Jeez.
How many governors
do we need? You know,
I hate to deny good talent if there's good talent, but just the notion of a dynastic family smacks of aristocracy and royalty.
Yeah.
And we don't need it. And that's part of the reason we formed a country.
Okay.
Armand and I agree. How about
good.
That?
But it's never going to happen.
No, it's probably not. 1899, E.B. White, the essayist and journalist born. Any thoughts on E.B.?
Yeah, well, you read. He's funny, actually. He's written some pretty funny stuff. I have the essays of E.B. White in my room.
I love it. Very good.
And if you want to read Strunk and White, of course, was, you know, style, the elements of style.
The elements That's of like, style.
Yes, the seminal book on grammar and style.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I like, yeah.
Very good. Well, happy birthday, E.B.
I have the book. Yep.
Now, 1920, this guy.
Opium dealer.
Wow. He had a hell of a life.
Yeah.
He really did.
Not a long one.
The Russian. No, he didn't. He only lived to be 65 years old.
I don't think he quite made 65.
He's probably 64.
Yeah.
But
have you seen his it's on YouTube, his his don't smoking ad while he did about few weeks before he died.
Yes, I do remember
and
that.
Now the late Yul Brynner.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Yul Brynner's birthday, 1920, July 11th.
You talk about good news and bad news. He went to see his doctor because he was singing in The King and I.
Yeah.
And he was having trouble with his throat, and so they said, the good news is there's nothing wrong with your throat. The bad news is you've got terminal lung cancer. Mm. Big time smoker.
Is there any actor alive today who could pull off Magnificent Seven to The King and I?
Well, I don't know about
that. Is it like Hugh Jackman, maybe?
No.
No?
Anyway, Professor X, the X-Men?
Yeah.
That was Stan Lee patterned him after.
No kidding.
If you look at him, he's Yul Brynner. He's bald and... And before King and I, Yul Brynner, of course, he had some hair. He actually had a head of hair. And they said, you have to shave that off. F you.
Yeah,
I'm not going to. And that was kind of his shtick then. So.
What else? Okay. Other than Mag 7 and King and I.
Taras Bulba.
I haven't seen that.
Movie. Pretty good.
Give me some more then.
What else?
Because those are the big two. It's hard to get past those big two.
King and I and. Boy, I don't know. I can't think of any offhand. I'm sure he did a bunch of them.
Because in Magnificent Seven, if I showed you The King and I first, and then I said, hey, that guy there, he's going to be in this cowboy Western movie, you'd laugh at me.
Not only that, his name's Chris.
And then...
I mean, you would think they could come up with a better name,
Something.
Yeah.
Chris.
Xanadu or something, or Ahmed. Yeah, Chris.
Chris.
Yeah.
The screenwriters were truly out
of ideas. A little miscast with that name. Anyway. Well, he was in Westworld where he played Chris again.
That's it.
Yeah,
Westworld.
Westworld.
Yes, Westworld.
Gets his face torn off. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The old Brent. If you haven't seen Magnificent Seven or The King and I, you do need to check them out. Just
give that boy a bib. Remember
that?
Yeah. He spilled his drink.
To see the range of Yul Brynner. Yeah, this day in history podcast.com.
Ran the gamut.
Head to Amazon.
Ran the gamut of emotion from A to B.
From A to B. Now, this next lady.
Catherine Hepburn.
This next lady, she really had some talent. If you needed someone to sit on a panel game show, this is your gal, Brett Summers.
Yeah, she was pretty funny. Not the best looking woman in the world.
When I think of what a middle-aged woman looked like in the 1970s,
Hausfrau,
my mind immediately goes to Brett Summers.
Big thick glasses.
Big thick glasses. Dishwater blonde hair.
Yeah. Spent the whole day at the beauty parlor.
Just to look like that.
Under a hair dryer.
Just to look like that.
To look that good.
Right.
Ooh.
Imagine what. Imagine.
But probably now, look better than Charles Nelson Reilly when he woke up and didn't have his toupee on. Remember, did you see the one where he took it off?
Oh, no. No.
That was pretty funny. I got to give him credit. I think it was on the Match Game.
He's like, good for him.
I remember because some other guy was playing and he was bald and he looked so good and something. I think Gene says, so Charles takes his toupee off and puts it on the bald. It was great, man. That's showmanship.
That is. Oh, you got to hand it to Charles. Yeah. Again, have you watched the Alec Baldwin impersonations of him yet?
I haven't.
You need to go do that.
I'd watch him do Trump. That's pretty funny.
I'm telling you, he's better. As good as he is at Trump, he's better at Charles Nelson Reilly.
It's just not as funny, though.
Imitating
a guy that's already funny is not that funny to me.
Okay. Yeah, I understand your point.
Yeah.
Who was she married to?
I don't know. Was she married to Jack Klugman?
That's right. That's what I think it was. Yeah, I thought she was married to Quincy M.D.
Boy, he could do better than that.
You ever see Jack in person?
Well, yeah, but he's a movie star.
Movie star? That's,
he is.
That's,
he was in 12 Angry Men.
And, yeah, he was.
And he had the biggest show on TV for a while, that Quincy, man.
Well, no, Quincy was a good show.
I know.
But so it's a TV show.
He could get laid. Yeah,
not a
Jack
movie
Klugman.
Star. I remember he used to come to the press box at the ballpark. Why, I don't know.
Well, that's a good picture of her.
Whew.
Wow. She's Canadian. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
Audrey Dawn Johnston. That's
good,
a real name.
Good for her. 1930. Happy birthday, Harold Bloom, literary critic.
Yeah, I read his book.
You like him?
Yeah, the book on Shakespeare is very good.
Okay,
I recommend that. Pick that one up.
Okay, so that was
Harold Bloom's Shakespeare. It has some kind of subtitle too, isn't it?
Just go to thisdayinhistorypodcast.com, click on the Amazon banner, and simply type in Harold Bloom Shakespeare.
Yeah.
It will come right up.
Yeah.
1934, one of my favorites, Giorgio Armani is born.
Yeah, I can see you're wearing his.
Well, when I was younger,
by him.
When I was younger,
I had some Armani stuff. The Armani, what's that like cheapo store?
Armani,
is that one? I thought it was like Armani Express or something.
Armani Exchange, but it ain't cheap.
Yeah. I don't know. It was cheap when I got it.
Well, I think Armani might have been the first $1,000 suit I ever saw. Back in the like 80s.
That's a pittance now.
Now
the cheap bastards.
I've been to the flagship store on the Via Condotti in Rome where they walk you through the store. You know, they don't leave you alone.
Oh, I guess not.
They stay with you.
They got a tape measure on you.
There's no real browsing.
Got a little tailor named Luigi up your ass.
Oh, it's an experience, man.
I don't want to go there. I don't want to go to Prada store.
Yeah,
I'm a man of the people.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
So
I'm gonna join a union.
Carhartt for you?
Whatever that is.
Dickies?
Oh, Dickie. Yeah, yeah. Socks and sandals. Although that's now, I thought that, remember when that used to be the biggest faux pas you could ever do?
Now everyone does.
There's
it.
There's kids in here wearing it.
We got an office full of interns wearing sandals
kids.
And black socks. It looks like 1976 down at Kissimmee, Florida.
Bermuda.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Gotta beat these kids up, man.
Oof. 1953, happy birthday, Leon Spinks.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh,
I've
Leon.
Met him before. Yeah, had to throw him out of the bar a few times or ask him to leave.
But he did it.
Yeah.
He beat Muhammad Ali. And I cried like a baby that night.
Why?
Because I loved Ali.
Well, a lot of people think that was fixed. I don't happen to think so.
I don't see Ali fixing a fight. I just can't.
In fact, that's a death, one of our deaths. All you
right.
left out.
Okay. And two more birthdays. 1957, one of my favorite singer-songwriters, Peter Murphy.
Don't know him.
You wouldn't because he makes good alternative music, modern.
I don't want alternative.
It's quality stuff. And 1963, one of my favorite all-time hockey players, Calgary Flame, St. Louis Blue, one of the most vicious slap shots ever,
Yeah.
Al McInnes.
Treated his wife.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Gave her orthotics.
Oh,
yeah.
Very good. Mm-hmm. And Al is a generous, generous individual.
I think he came in a couple times. I met him, yeah.
Wonderful man. Nice. Wonderful
wife,
man.
Wife was a nice lady.
Couple more events to wrap things up before we do Who Died. And there's some good ones here. 1914, the debut of the greatest player to ever play Major League Baseball,
ooh.
Babe Ruth.
Okay, I won't argue with it, but I'm sure some people might.
I think some people might. I think the stats will bear him out. And compared to his peers,
yeah.
First of all, he performed for 7 years as a very good pitcher.
Right.
Not necessarily the best pitcher in the game.
But one of them.
But
top,
amongst,
top,
he's the in the conversation. You know, look, yeah, is he Christy Mathewson?
No.
But no.
I mean, he might have turned into him.
He could have, right. And then he becomes unquestionably the best power hitter in the game.
Yeah.
In 1920, when the live ball era is ushered in, and he makes the transition.
Woof. House that Ruth built.
And
he sure did.
He plays, of course, he gets literally transferred. It's not a trade. That's a transfer.
What, from Boston?
From Boston to New York.
Yeah,
yep.
I think that's a myth, though, that they use the money.
It is a myth.
To,
for the
stage
play.
No, no, Nanette.
Yeah, it is.
What's his name, Frazee?
Yeah, it's a myth.
Yeah.
His transfer fee was not to finance No, No, Nanette. Right. Even Boston people will tell you that.
But the curse of the Bambino persists until 2004.
Yeah, then they broke it.
Yeah.
The curse of the Boston franchise was basically bad baseball at the worst possible time.
Well, that 1986 series, man.
Oh, God, that was brutal.
They blew that one.
That was painful to watch.
Yeah, well, Keith Hernandez up in the clubhouse getting
smoking
stoned.
And not wearing pants. Kevin Mitchell went to the plate after Hernandez. No underwear, no jock strap.
Oh.
He threw his trousers on, or whatever you call the baseball, you know.
Yeah.
He threw his pants on.
Pantaloons.
To rush down the tunnel and get to the batter circle. Because they were, you know.
Oh, everybody gave up.
They were.
Yeah.
It was over.
Typical.
The Boston the Boston locker room is full of the wine.
Champagne, pop the cork.
The draping of the lockers is already done.
And that wasn't Buckner's fault. They blew that game. You know, he didn't help, but that game should have been over.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah, a couple outs before that.
Well, first of all, Buckner should have never been on the field at that
base,
point. You put your best defense in.
Who was the manager on that?
For the Red Sox?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
All right,
it was Davey Johnson for the Mets.
Yeah, Davey Johnson. I know that.
I want to say McNamara?
Pat McNamara? Or, no, what was his name? Dave McNamara? I don't know, whatever.
He blew it.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. And then they brought in that Bob Stanley. I mean, the picture of a losing relief pitcher. Yike.
Okay.
Anyway, the band.
Yeah, that's nothing to do. Yeah.
So his debut as a pitcher with the Red Sox, and you know, God, did Babe play in some World Series too?
Yep.
Not just with the Yankees.
Yeah, it's kind of sad to look at him, though, when he's in that Lou Gehrig movie. He looks pretty bad.
Well, I know. Is that the.
And
he's
you see him
end.
On YouTube, his last, you know, like Babe Ruth Day or something.
Yeah.
He looks bad.
Yeah, he does. That's like
I think my voice sounds bad. You ought to feel it.
48.
He wasn't very old, yeah.
No.
Oh,
no.
19, it was 48 or something like that. And yeah, he looked terrible.
So, you know, that's a big date, though. Babe Ruth. Man, oh, man. I'd like to do an entire show just about comparing him to his peers because it is remarkable. It's really only Lou Gehrig that can. Maybe
Jimmy Fox
gets in the conversation.
Jimmy Fox is in there.
All right, 1921, William Howard Taft, your former president.
Now, this is a fat bastard we don't like.
He gets sworn in as the 10th Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and he's the only person in U.S. history ever to hold both offices. And guess what? I think he will be the only person in U.S. history to ever hold both offices.
I don't like this guy. Never did lie. I didn't like him as a president. As a Chief Justice, I don't know, maybe. I don't know what rulings he had.
Was there no one else?
Big statist.
Was there no one else?
Yeah, I know. I mean,
come on.
No one that weighed 310 pounds.
Well,
where'd they find the robes for this guy?
I don't know.
Okay, anyway.
1922, the Hollywood Bowl opens.
Yeah, now
I have yet to see a show there.
You
I know.
Call yourself a Los Angelino?
I don't call myself an Angelino.
Well, you're not.
But I'm working on it.
Last one I saw was a couple of years ago, I saw John Williams conducting. First, he conducted all kinds of film scores, and then he did his own. And everybody's bringing lightsabers and stuff. They turn off the lights.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I have seen
John Williams.
I have seen a concert at the Hollywood Bowl from on top of Mulholland Drive where you look down.
Yeah, you can see it, yeah.
And
acoustically perfect.
And the sound coming up was kind of cool. It was a pop show. I think it was like Gnarls Barkley.
Nice.
Okay. But I want to see an orchestra at the Hollywood Bowl, because they've also done concerts where they have the orchestra and they show Looney Tunes.
Well, Leopold.
And then the orchestra, by the way, speaking of your famous Leopold Bugs Bunny clip, someone did a Trump to CNN.
It's beautiful. I loved it. I was laughing my ass off. It's great.
That was good.
Yeah, that was good. You appreciate that.
Oh, hell yeah. I had to sit there and watch it. I was like, this is
great. So I guess
you
can watch that in jail, huh, when they put him.
Yeah, yeah. He'll have time. He'll have time. So, yeah, I'd love to see a show at the Hollywood Bowl. I'm just Yeah, I'm not quite an Angelino yet. I'm going to see a show at the Forum, though, this fall. It's a famous,
last thing I saw at the Forum was Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Oh, you saw Glow, which, by the way, people highly recommend on Netflix.
It wasn't Glow. It was the ones that came out. It was Wow.
Oh, Wow.
Women of Wrestling. One of the girls in my acting class was...
Was a wrestler?
Yeah.
Love it.
She got me free seats.
Oh, well, that explains why you went. There it is.
Yeah, you're damn right.
1960, Harper Lee publishes... To Kill a Mockingbird.
One of my favorite novels. I don't know what's. And I guess that.
You don't like To Kill a Mockingbird?
No, I didn't say I don't like it. I just say I think it's a little overrated. I think it's great of a novel or a movie for that matter. But
I think the movie's very good.
And what's that? Kill a Watchman or something? What's
Go
that?
Set a Watchman.
Go Set a Watchman.
And she did not intend for that to be published. I will not read it.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever.
There's two things of Harper Lee's.
Well, there's a lot of great things that were never meant to be.
That's right. Like, and so if the artist didn't...
Everything Franz Kafka ever wrote.
If the artist didn't intend for it to be digested, don't digest it. Very simple.
Oh, that's the Hubert rule.
That's a maxim. Is that a maxim or a... Is it an imperative? I mean, she didn't mean for that thing to be published.
Okay, so what?
Well, so they shouldn't have published it, and I ain't going to read it.
Some of the greatest things in the world, like... You know, the symphony that Bizet wrote, he put it away. Didn't want anybody ever hear it. It's
good.
Great.
And I haven't heard it to this day.
Well, yeah, you haven't.
But you haven't heard it.
Go to the Hollywood Bowl and listen to it.
Yeah, you haven't heard it the way he wanted it to be.
What do you mean? He thought it was lousy. It was great.
Says you.
Well, sometimes the worst judge of their own work is the artist.
You know, one of the things, you ever heard that saying about why do they have security at art museums?
To keep the artist from going in and continuing to work on their paintings. Or tear them up. Yeah. I mean, I'm working on this horror movie for the 15th rewrite. I just can't stop. Works of art are never
I think one of the reasons
never done. They're just abandoned.
I think one of the reasons, though, is because it's forced on you in high school. No one reads Mockingbird willingly. That's maybe
it wasn't
one.
Wasn't bad. It's better than I think the most overrated
Catcher.
Of all. No, I never didn't like that anyway. But
Catcher in the
Great
Rye.
Gatsby. I never got what was so great about that. And I love Fitzgerald. I love his short stories. But that, I don't know. I don't know why it's such the greatest American novel or something. Give me a break. What do you say? What, you like Great Gatsby? You think it's that good?
I did not.
I think Catcher in the Rye is better than Great Gatsby. I don't even like that one.
Yeah. I was kind of rooting for Holden Caulfield to get his ass kicked, the majority of that book.
My favorite American novel is Babbitt. Uh-huh. That's a great novel. Sinclair Lewis. Oh, Lewis is better than this stuff.
What about The Jungle?
Well, that's socialist tripe, is it? Yeah,
oh,
when the guy, when the guy who writes it runs for governor of California is a socialist, I think. Plus, he made all that shit up, and the thing is, they you remember the meat industry and everything. Nobody knew that was a novel. Everybody thinks this is some kind of big newspaper,
expose.
An article.
Yeah.
He made it up. People falling into the vat and being put in the beef. Right.
We're not saying it hasn't happened. We're just saying it's not an everyday.
I don't think it's happened.
Oh, BS.
He made it up.
You know where most guys disappear?
Hey, listen.
Hot dogs.
You don't want to know how they make the sausage.
No, you don't.
All right.
You
don't. Just don't eat it then.
I don't.
Okay. Well, good.
1962. This was one that affects the world we live in.
Telstar.
On the heels of Telstar, the first transatlantic satellite television transmission. And we can watch what the Europeans are watching and vice versa.
Yeah, what was
and in
it?
Turn,
probably Friday Night Wrestling.
Yeah, in turn, I think they really watch what we're watching because if you want to see European television.
Yeah, good for you. Yeah.
No, there's some good stuff.
Those European movies.
No, those Swedish crime shows, those are good. Laughing policemen and those, you don't like those?
I've never seen it.
Yeah, there you go. Then the big one for me, I'm enthralled by this. The first game of the World Chess Championship of 1972, July 11th, Reykjavik, Iceland. Bobby Fischer.
Well, if Fischer was black, he probably played Nydorf variation of Sicilian defense. But
and
see, I don't know who was black in that
and
game.
The defending champion, Boris Spassky.
Yep.
And Fischer, I thought, turned the whole thing into.
I think he just skipped it, didn't he?
Well, the first match?
Well, didn't he miss a game
or two?
I think
he missed. It just doesn't show up.
First game.
And then
was,
the next.
Oh, it was played. So,
but
okay.
doesn't he say I was late in traffic?
Oh, is that what happened? I don't know.
Yeah,
adjourned after 40 moves.
Traffic in Reykjavik.
Spassky resigned the next day. Wonder what the opening was here.
Did Fischer play black?
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to find out. Let's see. Where do I find it?
No, you know what? In that first one, because when they start the match, he did play black Armand because Spassky had the first move, punched the clock, and then sat there waiting on Fischer.
Right. So
it's my contention Fischer turned the whole thing into a mental chess match because – he sits down. He immediately starts complaining about noise from a TV camera.
Oh yeah, well,
gets up, goes to the judge.
I don't know if this was really his strategy or he's just nuts.
You know, it's hard to say.
At the time, everybody thought it was his strategy, but he may have just been a screwball.
Well, he definitely became a screwball. But I think he saw chess as more than the board at that point.
Oh yeah, give him that much.
Did you follow that as a kid? Shit.
Yeah, of course.
That was a big deal. I mean. Nightly news reports and everything, and my dad was a chess aficionado. You know, wanted to be able to.
Yeah, well, the whole thing. Yeah, chess was a big deal then for a while.
I remember late 70s. You got those computerized chess boards that came out that you could play against the little computer, move your pieces on the board, and everything.
Yeah, let's see. It doesn't say what the. Well, I can't get the stupid thing in.
Now, what's the game during the match that's called the most beautiful game ever? Fischer gets him to.
With Spassky?
Yeah. Gets him to resign in like 18 moves.
Well, I don't think that's the one with Spassky. I think that's one of the ones like Fischer's like 13 years old and plays Bisguer or something like that and beats him. Yeah, he's just a kid. Yeah, that's like. Yeah. He did like a queen sacrifice and a rook sacrifice and. Just the end position's unbelievable.
Now
I think that was
in the first match. Doesn't
most beautiful game ever played or something like that?
Doesn't Fischer open with a really odd opening?
See, I don't know. I can't get the damn thing on my phone.
You know, and he ends up basically. I mean, you know, he throws the first match.
He usually played Sicilian defense. I don't know, depending on what Spassky, if he played e4.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
Armand's looking.
Yeah, but I got a terrible phone, so I'm not going to get it anyway. I think that most beautiful game is
because
that was against Arthur Bisguer.
You can watch the recreation of Fischer's games online, you know, with that sort of digital chessboard.
Yeah,
it'll do the moves.
It,
and it's wonderful to watch.
And then you can read it in my 50, I think it was 60, was it 60 most memorable games or something?
He wrote
a book, yeah.
He did?
Mm-hmm. No, he wrote several, but my 60 memorable games or something is the one you want to get.
Okay. All right, well, check that out. Look for that at Amazon.com. Finally, last event that I got, Armand, Skylab comes crashing back down to Earth through the atmosphere over the Indian Ocean. I seem to remember parts of it landing
in
Australia.
Yeah,
Perth.
They didn't lower it fast enough.
And
that's not it.
America's first space station, that's the way it ends. July 11th, 1979. I remember that because... it was my grandfather's birthday.
Oh, I think it was Robert Byrne versus Fischer.
Okay.
That was the one I think you're thinking of, 63.
And that's in they have a title for it?
The Fischer Juggernaut.
The Fischer Juggernaut.
Okay. 21 moves.
21 moves? Okay.
Yeah, I think that's the one where he sacrificed his queen and a rook and just choked the king out with his four pieces. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
He could only have been like 13, 14 years old.
Yeah, he would have been young in 63.
Mm-hmm.
Very young.
U.S. Championship. U.S. Open, I guess.
Like Bobby said, I played. I woke up one morning, and I was really good.
Yeah, well, 10, 12 hours a day at the Manhattan Chess Club.
The 10,000 hours of practice, because Malcolm Gladwell cites him, Fischer, as one of the examples. You do anything for 10,000 hours, you get real good at it.
I guess, but I think the guy had something else, too.
No, you have.
A lot of guys put that kind of time
you
in.
Have something.
He probably outworked everybody, but. He was also a genius.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Don't discredit his natural, but natural plus the work that'll get you to that level.
Yep.
All right, Armand, who died on this date? Sad death.
Yeah.
1937. One of the greatest composers of all time. and certainly one of the composers that's responsible for the sound
one of my favorites
of American music, George Gershwin.
Yeah, he's 38 years old, I think.
38 or 39.
I don't think he made 30. I think
he was born in...
His last words, Fred Astaire.
Fred Astaire? Well, born in 1898, died in 1937. Well, you can't imagine what might have come out of Gershwin in the 40s, 50s, shame, and 60s. Oh, man, the miss there.
I like the piano concerto in F. That's one of my favorites.
Can you sing that?
No, but I can almost play some of it.
Favorite Gershwin tune? That's it. What else do you like?
Rialto Ripples. Pretty good stuff. And What's New? Well, no, I don't think he did What's Someone to Watch Over Me, one of my favorite songs.
I think that was a lot of people's favorite song.
Yeah, that's a great song. You know, a lot of his songs. And anything from Porgy and Bess.
Yeah.
Which... You'll never see white people. That's specified.
Oh, yeah.
That no white people can put
African-American
out.
Only gotta cast for Porgy?
Always has to be African-American cast. Yep.
All right. 1959, Charlie Parker passes away.
Which is why Frank Sinatra can never sing Old Man River on stage.
By the way, not that Charlie Parker, but the famous English...
Yeah, I thought it was Charlie Bird Parker.
No, the famous English cricketer. Ross McDonald passes away.
Yeah, I've read some of his stuff.
I have too.
Lou Archer.
He is the underrated.
He's like Hammett. And
yeah,
that school.
He's out of the Raymond Chandler Dashiell Hammett school. But I think I've got about five of his books, and to be honest, they're really gritty, and they're in a way they're a lot grittier and grimier than the Hammett and Chandler works.
Yeah, he's more like Mickey Spillane almost. But I.
Ross is worth picking up, and he wrote a lot.
They may do that.
Because Ross, I think, wrote as many as 30 of those Pulp Fiction works, where Hammett and Chandler,
Chandler didn't do that much.
He's
drunk all the time anyway.
And Hammett did what? Maybe 15 books?
I don't know how many he did. Not that many.
Not that many. Well, I want to say, you walk into one of those.
He did a lot of short stories, though. Continental Op and, you know.
Yeah.
I got a whole book of Hammett. Short stories.
Yeah. But McDonald's pretty prolific.
Murder by Gun.
Murder by Gun.
Yeah.
1989, the death of
Oliver.
Larry Oliver.
That's what
Lawrence
they want
to call him. Olivier, the director, the actor, the producer.
What can you say?
Is he the finest screen actor?
No, I think Spencer Tracy's got him beat, but I don't know about on stage.
What about the stage? Yeah. What about the stage?
Well, they say, I don't know, Gielgud.
Did you ever see him in person?
No.
Oh.
No, I didn't see him. But Gielgud, supposedly, I don't know. Like Spartacus, he just like put him on wigs and put his own nose and stuff, because he thought he was a better actor with his makeup on.
Yeah.
But I think he's the only guy to win a Best Picture, Best Actor Oscar and a Razzie. For Inchon, which has got to be seen to be believed.
The film about Inchon, Korea?
Well, he was MacArthur, and he was awful, but the whole movie was. And then somebody asked him, hey, Larry, what'd you. In fact, everybody, if you called him Lawrence, he wouldn't talk to you. He wanted to be called Larry. Really, that's true.
I'd love it.
Yeah, very humble guy.
Yeah.
So anyway, the guy said, why did you take that part? He goes, well, someone knocked at my door. I answered it. He had a suitcase with $1 million in cash. There you go.
Take the
and
part.
I love it, right.
Take the part, Larry.
I took it. Yeah.
I'll take it every day of the week.
It was one of the Moonies. It was Sun Young Moon produced that movie.
Wait, from the Church of Moon?
Yeah.
The mass marriage
or whatever
people?
The hell. Yeah. That's where they got the money. That's why I paid everybody
cash. Wait a second.
This
all
big
those,
tax dodge.
All those people who paid to be married, they shuffle all that money to
whatever Sun Young Moon and whatever
Lawrence
else he
Olivier.
Was doing. Well, and
Larry.
The other actors in the movie to make
to
that
make
movie.
To make Inchon.
Yeah, it was about the Korean War. But that's
okay, I got to go watch Inchon
now. Talk
to
E about getting it on our collection.
I got to go watch Inchon now. Yeah. I got to see this.
Yeah.
Now, what did he win Best Actor for?
Hamlet.
In 1948?
Uh-huh.
David Lean?
No, he directed himself.
He directed it himself.
I think he won Best Director, too.
Okay. Right. It wasn't one of those Orson Welles Hamlets.
No, he didn't win Best Director because John Huston won that year for
Treasure Sierra Madre.
But he won Best Actor.
Okay. Is that a good Hamlet
nominated.
On film to watch?
It's my favorite.
It's your favorite. You know, okay.
Kenneth Branagh guy. I like Richard. It's Richard III, too. I mean, Richard III was in 55, where he blacked himself out a little bit and kind of took lessons in being black from Sammy Davis Jr.
Oh, wow. What's his best?
I like Henry V. That's my favorite Olivier movie.
Is that his best out of before
the,
he...
The Shakespeare's, yeah.
I know, but be like...
He was in Much Ado About Nothing in 36.
Yeah, that era right there where he's still in England.
Yeah, he was. I think he came over here and did, what did they bring him over for? Well, he did a Rebecca with Hitchcock.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah. And he was, that's probably when he came up. And, you know, because he and that's why.
Rebecca set in Brazil, right?
No.
Where's
England.
That?
It's England. Yesterday I went to Manderley again.
Oh, I dreamt of Manderley. Notorious is set in
Brazil. Yeah, that's
Cary
Grant. Yeah, okay. I dreamt of Manderley again.
Manderley.
But yeah, he and Vivian Leigh couldn't keep their hands off each other. That's why she always like was in such a hurry to get rid of done with Gone with the Wind.
To get back to Larry?
Yeah, they jump Larry's bones. Oh, well. He was doing Pride and Prejudice at the time, which is another great movie. That's one of my favorite. Greer Garson.
Oh, good looker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Greer Garson.
Underrated. Yeah.
And Sleuth, the original Sleuth, one of the few movies where everybody in the movie got nominated for an Academy Award.
I've never seen it. Okay.
With Michael Caine?
What year? 70?
72.
Two.
Yeah. Who directed it? I think it was
Sidney Lumet.
I think Lumet.
That's about the because didn't Lumet just come off French Connection and
no that was Friedkin, wasn't it?
That was William Friedkin.
Yeah.
Well, Lumet was on a run though in the early 70s, wasn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did a lot of great stuff, but I think he did.
Friedkin had French Connection. Then his follow up was kind of The Exorcist, wasn't it?
I don't remember who directed this. I don't know. I guess.
Yeah, we'll find out for you. Two more birthdays, folks. 2007, or deaths, rather. 2007, the passing of Lady Bird Johnson, the 43rd First Lady.
Yeah, I never thought she'd ever die.
Of the United States, and she's best known for the American beautification activism that she did. She planted all those blue bonnets.
Oh, yeah, I remember
along
that.
The highways and interstates of Texas.
Somebody had a joke about that.
Well, it's Robin Williams.
Yeah, what was the joke?
LBJ passes the Highway Beautification Act. Basically, the act says that his wife and daughters cannot appear in a convertible on a U.S. highway.
Right. Good. Yeah. She was the second ugliest woman after Eleanor Roosevelt.
Oh, man.
That's pretty rarefied company.
From Good Morning Vietnam, mid-80s, like 86, 87. Yeah, that that's still harsh.
Yeah, but it's true. She was ugly. Wow.
Basically, the act states that she and her daughters cannot appear in a convertible highway.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
Your phone. You got all sorts of problems. Finally, my last death today, 2014, Tommy Ramone. The drummer, producer, of course, the Ramones. So there you have it.
See, you screwed me up. Now I got the producer, of course. What the? I don't want that. Quiet. Now put quiet down, you piece of shit.
Oh, you should see Armand and his technology, folks. I'm going to be quiet. Talk to Siri.
Who directed The Exorcist?
The Exorcist was directed by William Friedkin.
Friedkin. Okay, well, you're right. I was right, too.
Well, ask Siri what other films did Sidney Lumet direct? He was on a streak there, I'm telling you.
Films directed by Sidney Lumet.
Sidney Lumet's
not to be...
12 Angry Men, Dog Day Afternoon, and 52 others.
52, you got time?
52 others.
All right.
52!
Sidney Pollack. You know, so... Sidney Pollack was supposed to be. I asked one time.
He directed Out of Africa. That was a good one.
Yeah. Well, he did Tootsie too. And yeah, he's
he
in
did,
it too.
He's in it, and he's also
Your Tomato.
He's also in Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah, that's right. He's in that too.
Yeah.
But you know, but one time I asked one of my, one of the writers that taught me at UCLA, one of my professors.
Yeah.
That, like we just got around to who's the biggest asshole in Hollywood?
Sidney Pollack.
Sidney Pollack.
Really?
Yeah. She said that instantly. Biggest jerk you'll ever meet. Which you wouldn't think looking at him.
No, it seems like an amenable guy.
Oh, man. She didn't even hesitate.
I mean, he had some good scenes in Eyes Wide Shut.
All right. 2009, Arturo Gatti. I just watched him get the holy shit beat out of him by Roger Mayweather this morning on YouTube. Good fighter.
Mayweather? Floyd.
Floyd. Yeah, Roger's a father. The uncle.
I booked Roger on a radio interview once. It's the only time I kicked a person off the air as a producer.
Oh, okay.
Literally.
You mentioned that, yeah.
Yeah. I gave him
a warning.
Well,
you never had Sidney Pollack on your show.
No, I didn't. I gave him a warning, and I said, I actually picked up the phone on the air in the middle. I said, you do that again.
What do you do?
We're cutting this. They dropped an MF-er on the air.
Oh, well.
Okay. And you only have – here's the thing.
We do that in here, too.
Yeah, but here we don't have the FCC liable to write me a letter.
Oh, okay.
And radio, here's what a lot of people don't. You only have like 1 or 2 7-second delays.
Okay.
You hit your first delay. You got usually have one more.
The guy's a boxer. What do you expect? It's like having, guy's probably got dementia pugilistica.
Yeah, probably.
Anyway, this guy, the interesting thing about this guy's death is they arrested his wife because it was down in Brazil.
Yep.
And they thought she did it, and they acquitted her, but I don't know. I was trying to find out what they found. They exhumed the body, found a lot of toxic stuff in him. But he was pretty beat up, though. But then again, how did she choke him? But apparently, she's sitting in the same apartment with him for like 12 hours and doesn't know he's dead.
That's weird.
Yeah, so that's an odd. That's but anyway, weird. He was a hell of a fighter.
Oh, he was that, a hell of a fighter.
Gotti Ward fights are really good.
Look, those. I think there's three Mickey Ward, Arturo Gotti fights
of the year.
And let me tell you, it's hard to imagine two tougher guys.
Yeah, he could have had a hell of a chin.
Because neither of these guys were giving in.
Well, Mayweather was beating the holy shit out of him. It was like, you know, he's like the Flash and this guy.
I know, but Floyd can do that because you can't touch Floyd.
I know. But, I mean, he didn't really have that much power, but he was just socking the shit out of this
Floyd
guy.
Will point you to death.
I know, which is why I don't want to watch that dumb fight he's got coming
with
up.
With McGregor?
And this is when he was in his prime.
No, I'm going to watch it. Ugh. We're all going to get together, pay $2, 30, 40 of us, and have a good time.
Can I get in for $1.50?
Okay.
I'll pick up 50 cents.
I'll let you in for $1.50. Right. Just so you can feel like you got a discount.
You lost a couple bets. You owe me.
I still owe you two lunches.
All right.
All right. July 11th is in the books. Thanks for tuning in today, folks. We appreciate it. Don't forget, subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, any major podcast outlet, and like us on Facebook, facebook.com/thisdayinhistorypodcast. So for my man, Armand Kachigian, producers Andrew Allen, show writer Corey Smith, I'm Tony Hubert, and when July 12th rolls around, we will be here to tell you about it on lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.